Okay, today we're going to talk about a kashrus issue that I get a lot of questions about. People often ask about different hashkachos. I'm not going to go through different hashkachos, what's good and what's bad. That would be a very bad idea on my part. But I do have a list if you want me to email it to you. That'll do, but I'm not going to. But I get very often people ask about going to a vegan restaurant. If they're on vacation and the vegan restaurant doesn't have hashkacha, but what could be bad about vegan? They don't have any milk, any cheese, any fish, any animal in it. They're very frum about this. They don't even have any animal products. So people assume that if they're out of town on a business trip, or even in, let's say, Manhattan, but the vegan restaurant has either no hashkacha or hashkacha they would never trust for anything else. Can you trust a vegan? The fact that it's vegan in order to eat there? So many people are under the impression that it's okay, and the people assume what can possibly go wrong. Many even argue that the vegans are firmer than us in their in how strict they are with what food they use. So there is the OU has a thing. Rabbi Yaakov Luban from the OU has a series, I think, that's called "What Could Be Wrong With." ... So I don't think he ever did "What Could Be Wrong With Vegan," but I urged him to do so because I think that there are 8 different things that I could identify that could be wrong with the vegan restaurant. So we're just going to run through the 8 different things. Not so much halacha shir, just sort of like showing you what's out there. Thing number one that could be wrong with the vegan restaurant is that tiny quantities of animal products may in fact get into the food, meaning they are not in fact firmer than us. According to the Vegan Society, if you go on their website, that gives the vegan hashkacha, which they advertise as being similar to a kosher symbol. This certifies a product as vegan. They write that vegan products must, as far as is possible and practical, be free from animal involvement. As far as is practical and possible. So it's not an absolute. They already leave a little bit of room. Now, they may be referring to other types of involvement like animal cruelty, which they're very machmir about, but clearly they're not working with concepts of bittul and nosin tam and things of this nature. They do their best, and that's their shita, to do their best. Second, the kalim may not be kosher. A lot of times, a restaurant, especially now as vegan restaurants are becoming much more popular, so usually when a restaurant opens up, or often when a restaurant opens up, they're not starting from scratch. They're moving into an area where there was a failed restaurant before. So they're moving into a place that already has a kitchen, and they're cleaning it up and using that kitchen. But they're certainly not koshering the kitchen. Why would they kosher the kitchen? So it could be that the entire facility, all of the kalim, are treif, even if they're very, very careful not to use any animal ingredients. Why would they learn the parsha of Geulei Klei Midyan and be makbid on Hagala and Libun and do all of those things? It just doesn't make sense. One of the according to one of the rabbanim based in Tokyo who supervises the production of kosher soy sauce said that a lot of the soy sauce factories also produce oyster and shrimp based sauces, and soy sauce they would have no problem with. They use it all the time. Now, on the official vegan certification website, it warns not to rely on it for allergy purposes. Why? Because they say that many of their certified products are made on machinery used for other things, meaning not only will they be going into a restaurant and not kosher the machinery, but even the ingredients that they're getting is coming from factories that currently use that the machinery currently produces other things. And they explain themselves, they say our motivation is working to end cruelty to animals, and we don't feel that avoiding trace amounts of animal products in vegan foods helps end animal suffering. It's far better for the animals that these vegan products exist. Meaning that they take the lesser of the evils. If there has to be a little bit of animal product so that the food could be basically vegan, so that's good enough. Whereas basically kosher is not good enough. We need it to be actually kosher. Third problem that can come up: wine, grape juice, wine vinegar. These can all be proper ingredients to be used by vegans, and they can all be problems of stam yenam. Now, they could be batal, but you're certainly not allowed to be batal them lechachila for your own consumption. Fourth problem, bishalakum. Halacha of bishalakum is that anything that is ol al shulchan malachim, meaning it's the kind of food you'd order at a restaurant, or and it's eino necho kamo shulchai, it's not edible raw. If a guy cooks it, you've got a problem, an isser of bishul akum. So you might say, but everything is vegetable, so isn't everything nechal kamo shuchai? Not all vegetables are nechal kamo shuchai. There are certain things they will make in a vegan restaurant that are not edible raw, are only edible once they are cooked, and therefore would be a problem of bishul akum. Even if a person were to go into the back of the restaurant and say, I'm sorry, I just need to turn on the fire for my own dish, it's still not so pashut, because there is a machlokas rishonim whether bishul akum treifs up kelim, that if a guy cooks in something, is the kli not kosher. Shulchan Aruch quotes both deos, and based on the rules of Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like he's paskening that it is a problem, that it is a problem that it trafes up the kelim. So it's certainly, even if you're turning on the fire, it may mean that right now it's not bishul akum if you're an Ashkenazi Jew, but it would still be a problem of making something in those kelim. Fifth problem that comes up is nobody is checking for bugs in the vegetables of the vegan restaurants. Nobody looks for the bugs. They don't like cruelty to animals, but not so much that they're going to sit there checking the pieces of lettuce to make sure that there's not some tiny bug in the lettuce. It's virtually impossible to check a salad once it comes to the table and has already been made and dressed and everything else, so you can't rely on yourself to do it once it comes to the table. Sixth problem, produce from Israel, potential Trumas and Maestros issues. No one's checking for it. No one's looking to see if there are peppers that come from Israel, if there are oranges that come from Israel. And we know these things happen all the time, because Baruch Hashem, Israel is very good at growing things. They have a tremendous export business. That's why if you go into Costco at any given time, you'll often find Israeli peppers and Israeli oranges. You get emails all the time about beware in Costco now if you buy these things, and you have to worry about Trumas and Maestros. So we don't know where things are coming from, and some things may come from Israel. We have no idea. A seventh potential problem is more of not a Hilchos Kashrus problem, but a different kind of Yoredeya problem, which is very often these vegan restaurants, especially in the Far East, as you're traveling to these far-flung places where people are more enticed to take advantage of these kinds of places, they very often have an affiliation with Buddhism or with some sort of religious practice, with some sort of Avodah Zarah. In fact, there are many places that will actually serve the food to the Avodah Zarah before they serve the food to you. It's only when Buddha says, no thanks, not hungry today, that they go and they bring the food to you. So that's a serious problem of promoting Avodah Zarah. And by the way, it happens in America also. I know a guy in my shul told me he was eating at a restaurant that had a hashkacha, and he noticed there was a big Buddha right in the middle of the restaurant, and they were doing this whole thing. They were serving him the food. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but he called up the Rav Machshir afterwards. And somebody, he didn't know who the Rav Machshir was. He probably should have found out before, but he called up the Rav Machshir afterwards and he said, you know, I was in this restaurant and the Rav Machshir's son answered the phone. And he said, is Rabbi so-and-so? And he said, not home. What can I help you with? So he told him, you know, there's this Avodah Zarah. And the son says, yeah, it's terrible. I can't believe my father gives hashgacha to that place. It's really awful. It's mamash Avodah Zarah. Okay, so what do you do with that? I don't know. So the kid said the father who's promoting Avodah Zarah. I don't know. The eighth issue is that where's the ne'emanus over here? Meaning, because we're convinced that they must be firmer than us and stricter than us in their standards, does that give halachic ne'emanus to a person? What would happen if there was trace amount of animal products in the food that they would serve at a vegan restaurant? Would they be shut down by the health department? Meaning, do you really have like Rav Moshe's Chalav HaKompany's heter over here, where there's proper oversight? As far as I could tell by going through the websites, there isn't really much in terms of government oversight in here or anywhere else for that matter, and it's not even very clear that there are vegan mashkichim of any sort that go out, meaning that go out to check consistently. They fill out an application, they come down to the plant once, they see their system, and that's it, and they get their vegan certification. I don't know that they have vegan mashkichim checking up on what's going on, and if an animal product would be served and they'd be caught, they would apologize and they would move on. Wouldn't be any And it's very hard to say chazaku min lomaru umnase on something like that. In addition, according to one of the websites from the Chabad in Japan, they said that they found that some of the vegan restaurants in Japan were serving what they called horse cucumbers. Now, is it a horse or is it a cucumber? So it's neither. But it apparently looks a little like a cucumber, and it is a slug at the bottom of the ocean that scavenges at the bottom of the ocean. That is not kosher. That's probably a sheret hamayim or something that's not kosher. Surprising that they would have that, but you know, no one's checking and no one cares. So it's not all that surprising. So is there a way to fix these issues? The only way to fix these issues is to have someone actually check and make sure that they're doing things properly. Would it be an easier hashgacha to give than a regular hashgacha? Probably, because you have much, even though we just pointed out 8 possible issues, it's much fewer issues than you'd have in a regular fleishig restaurant or a regular milchig restaurant, so it is a fairly easy hashgacha to give, but someone needs to be checking to make sure that there's hashgacha. So it's probably a really terrible avla that you have people that assume that it's kosher to just go to a vegan restaurant and order whatever it is that they want to order. It could be that they're violating any number of isurim in doing so.